I'm a co-host.
As am I.
Which one am I? You don't know.
I'll give you three hints. Yeah. I develop Telltale Games.
I write for ShaqNews.com. And I am the editor at large.
And I like Trine.
I'm a super, and I like Trine.
And I like Trine.
I haven't played Trine.
Oh, that's Jake.
Video games. It's the date.
And this is the Idle Thumbs episode number. And I'm Chris Remo.
I'm Nick Brecken.
And I'm Jake Rodkin.
And due to some apparent confusions about who we are and what we do, we would just like to take this opportunity to reiterate who we are and what we do. So I'm Chris, and I'm the editor-at-large at Gamma Sutra, which is an industry news website, and we cover development and video games.
Computer games as well.
Also computer
games. Computerandvideogames.com. That's right. Where you work, right?
That's right. Exactly.
Okay, yeah.
Also, I co-host this podcast called Idle Thumbs. I do that also. Idlethumbs.net.
That's a good one.
How about you, Nick?
I'm Nick, and I'm an editor at Shaq News. We cover computer and video games as well.
.com.
IGN.
Okay. It's a new top
many
level
sites that we aren't actually associated with. Yeah. So that's what you do? You write about video games?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You play them sometimes?
I play them sometimes. Not very often.
And that's Shaquille O'Neal's website, right?
Shaq News. Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. I'm Jake Rodkin. Jake. You can call me Jake.
I do call you that.
I work at Telltale Games, which is a video game company that makes video games. So I don't really write about
them.
And
computer games?
Actually, yeah. We're pretty much primarily a computer game company that also makes video games.
Ah.
We use computers to make video games.
I see.
That's someone else, actually.
Right.
So yeah.
Shaq isn't involved. But Lawrence Fishburne is, right?
Lawrence Fishburne is involved because we have made a CSI game one time.
Oh man, was he in it?
Yeah,
we've got a 3D model of Lawrence Fishburne
nice.
That you can sort of pose and do things to.
Sweet.
You know what I'm saying?
Can you use Nintendo's horse riding peripheral for that?
If he lets you.
Okay. You have to give him enough spell books, and then you unlock that capability. In the game.
Yes. So, yeah, but that just so if anyone's curious, if you hear people talking about that one time when they were making a video game, it was probably me, Jake. If you hear someone talking about how they were at a press event playing a preview of a video game, it was probably Nick and occasionally Chris. If you hear someone talking about how they work at a website that makes that covers the video games development industry, it's probably Chris.
Those are all accurate statements.
People don't know sometimes.
No, I wasn't. I'm agreeing. I'm saying that's a good handy guide. Write it down.
This one time there was another podcast made by Personal Computing Gamer United Kingdom that claimed that Nick was working on Telltale Games.
Yeah.
And,
an outrageous claim.
Please.
Yeah.
We've also gotten a few reader mails in recent weeks that have confused you.
I love
you
that
too.
Time that Jake was talking about how he played a video game.
That must have been wrong.
There's
no way that was correct.
Yeah. So now that that's all cleared up, you guys want to talk about like a horse riding peripheral?
Yeah.
Yes,
that exists.
Please. All right. Well, we got that out of the way.
Good.
Good.
This is actually fairly incredible.
I didn't see this. What is this?
Horse riding peripheral. Okay.
Hey.
All right.
Anyway,
no.
Moving on. Silicon Arrow, which is a pretty good site. They dig up a lot of stuff like this. They found a patent on a peripheral for the Wii that looks like a beanbag or something. It's actually an inflatable. It's some kind of inflatable device that you sit on. It's like a bag that you blow up.
You have to actually, horrible.
I know, it's weird as shit. You have to blow it up and it's got a little slot that you put the
what?
Wii remote.
Yeah. Is there a video that plays?
Well, there's
some
a video.
Kind of 3 hour.
Some kind of
there's
gloved
video.
Hand.
How to set up your horse bag.
Yeah. The Nintendo horse bag. Horse bag.
How to attach Wii Motion Plus to your horse bag.
Oh, God.
You have to cover it with a huge sort of rubber protective thing.
I can't wait to see
it. But also, it starts with the shape of the Wii Remote, and then it just stretches out to encompass an entire inflatable bag. Don't throw this at your TV. But is this a first-party peripheral?
Yes, it is.
The needle is slowly going towards blast.
I can't wait to see Iwata talk about the secrets that might be contained in the Nintendo Force bag.
Dive in.
Dive into the horse bag. Anyway, so we're already off to a great start with this podcast. Jesus. So anyway, there's some really good quotes that are worth reading here. It says, let's see here. Yeah, it actually has a one-way valve of conventional design to inflate the cushion.
Well, that's just a valve.
Yeah, exactly. But it's like it actually is that, like the kind that you have in
like a pool toy.
Right. Yeah.
Or maybe it works in a pool.
Maybe it floats. Yeah. It says, for example, the Wii main unit can display the back of a horse's head and background of a trail, a field, a battlefield, or other environment the virtual horse is being ridden through. The image may change in response to the detected motion of the user. So this thing senses you. It's like an inflatable balance board, basically.
Like with a horse head.
This is my favorite part, though. The patent lists, quote, bulls, camels, elephants, burros, dolphins, whales, and imaginary creatures, such as dragons, griffins, unicorns, and giant eagles. I really like that they specify all of
giant
these.
Eagles. Yeah.
Nintendo also suggests the seat could be used for vehicles like hang gliders or other aircraft, a magic carpet, a motorcycle, a jet ski, a land or sea exploration vehicle.
But if you're riding around on a giant bug, that patent belongs to me.
Yeah, Jake's already filed it.
Yeah.
It's called Edge. So this exists. People, the main speculation so far seems to be that this will be the next Nintendo or next Zelda game, but I think there might be a way more rote example of, I don't know.
There might be Wii Horse.
Right.
Yeah.
Wii Horse. It's a little horse. It's a Shetland pony game.
Yeah, I wonder, like, it would, playing that, but like with a riding crop would be really amusing to me if it could detect when it's slapped.
Yeah, there are all kinds of other games that
also, yeah, those would not pass cert. Or, I mean, yeah, you also can't play it with stirrups, probably, because you would deflate a horse.
Yeah.
Well, there might
be spurs. Stirrups, that's a different thing. I don't know what a horse is. So I'll love Wii
kind of
Horse.
I think a horse is kind of like it's an inflatable bag. I think it's...
Oh, that's a horse bag. I didn't know a horse was similar to a bag.
Oh, okay. I was thinking of horse bag. Sorry. I get horse bag and horse confused sometimes.
Oh.
What are we talking about?
The horse bag, I think.
From Nintendo, the whore's bag.
Diving? Yeah,
maybe. Man, we're already treading into horrible surprise cast territory.
No, it's fine.
This is what the Nintendo E3 conference was missing.
Yeah. Well, did you guys see Iwata?
It's true. They were unsure whether or not to announce it, but backstage there was an inflatable horse.
Cammy Dunaway had it there.
Oh, man. She was, sorry. You know how like the third party, like for when Wii Sports came out? This is the best idea. It's not the best idea, but it's something that I would love. You know how when like Wii Tennis and golf and stuff came out of it? I'm sorry. You know the other plastic attachments of like the golf club or the tennis racket? Do you think someone will sell a head to attach to the bag?
Like fucking Godfather,
it's like wee white sort of plastic.
Your kids wake up with a head
creepily.
No, it's for the
Merry
for
Christmas.
The
you open the present, and there's just a super realistic but sort of like milky white horse head. Right. Like, oh no, it's for the horse bag. Just to fix it to your bag.
It's the motion plus.
The motion plus goes in its mouth.
Yeah.
I mean, there is definitely like a plastic harness thing.
Oh, there's an image.
On the bag that you can use, that you can plug the Wii Remote into. And nice. I'm sure a third party will come out with a horse head that you can put on the bag. This is awful. Why does this exist?
I love Nintendo. Nintendo is
so weird now. Why are they so weird now? I mean,
money does strange things.
They might not make it.
Oh, also Iwata said they want to use the sensor. What was it called?
The vitality sensor
to make a relaxation game where it
relax.
Detects. Yeah,
relax. Your relaxing age is 87. Stop telling me this.
Yeah, which I guess it grades you on how well you're relaxing, right, or something like
you're
that.
You're very calm. No, right. You're not that calm.
Right.
Calm down. You could do better.
You could really calm down.
Maybe you should take a break from calming down. Go back to work. Like, it shows the line art illustration of sort of a stressed out guy at his desk with his boss waving his fist over him.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like a 40s cartoon for some reason.
Why not take a ride on your horse? Nintendo's essentially just creating one entire weird, like, yeah, passive game that just consists of, like, they're doing their own version of the weird, like,
of the future of
like
games?
Clockwork Orange future.
Well, yeah, games. But to win these games, you have to become a freak.
This is the Brave New World version.
Yeah.
The other one is the Orwell 1984 version, the horror terror right. of being controlled. This is the one where you just kind of passively exist in, mm-hmm. in the throes right. of these weird yeah. peripherals.
It's yeah. the
where you take just drugs yeah, to calm the, yourself right, down. Yeah. You're just like popping pills yeah, exactly. to like cheat.
I got to improve God. My relaxation.
You're like, down to like 40 beats per minute.
Ugh. TV room from Fahrenheit 451 where you just sort of encapsulate your head
right.
in Nintendo and then just right. sort of sit in your inflatable right. horse bean bag with vitality sensors all over you. So calm. At peace.
Right. You sit in your horse bag. I will never get tired
but
of that.
But then you can fly yeah. a dragon around.
A magic carpet.
A magic carpet.
A griffin.
Play frisbee golf.
Yeah. All these things and more.
Yeah.
Now you can ride around on the frisbee dog. And then you can throw right. frisbees.
One player is the, yeah.
One player is the frisbee dog?
Yeah, one player.
You don't even need the horse bag if you got a friend or a small sibling. Just get them to sit
you
on the balance board.
Just plug the Wii remote into their spinal cord.
Jesus Christ. They've got a hole just for the...
Okay.
Anyway,
well, it's like the Guitar Hero game.
Yeah. Where
the
oh, one... also on this topic, this is reader mail, but I'll just do it now.
On the topic of
Alan Holm,
horse bag.
Alan Holm writes, I think your Wii Motion Plus is broken. He says, I've been playing the hell out of Wii Sports Resort, and I haven't had any of the problems you talk about with the Wii Motion Plus needing calibration. I got a Motion Plus from Amazon, another one from Nintendo World in New York City, and they both work fine. Maybe you got a dud. Although basketball still sucks, so getting a new Wii Motion Plus won't help that. Love the podcast, Alan.
Yeah.
And yeah, I've played it for a few hours as well and didn't have that problem. So, Nick, I think you just
I've talked to a lot of people who have the same issue, though.
Yeah. I mean, so it could
maybe,
just be...
Maybe
I mean,
there's just a shitty
maybe there's
run.
Right. A lot of
I mean, I think
broken.
It is just a batch issue rather than a yeah. sort of yeah, system-wide yeah. like software issue or something.
Yeah. So, we take back what Nick said about Wii Sports Resort last week.
I guess.
It's yeah. actually the best.
Yeah, right. Yeah, the game is great. Yeah.
It'll be fine when you get your horse bag. I hope this is real. I hope they're doing this. Awada, just because I want these weird things to exist so they can baffle me, but Awada, did you see he was saying their E3 performance was
yeah.
like internally viewed as lackluster?
Good.
They needed more horse bag. So, next E3.
Speaking of horse bag, maybe we'll also include a feed bag.
A feed bag, yeah.
You know.
Like Gamer Grub feed bag.
Again, yeah. Oh, co-branding opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
With horse PB&J.
Horse, that's horrible.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
What? It's for the new genre of horse that's, games that will be flooding the market.
Ah, right.
We're killing horses in Florida right now. That's bad timing.
What? Wait, what?
You're just bringing up
yeah, like
horses?
Yeah, it's completely random, but they're... There's somebody killing horses.
You saw on the news that
yeah, there's like a black market for horse meat in Florida right now.
Well, that
what? Yeah,
in interactive form would also fall under Nintendo's horse bag patent,
right?
What? That's
for serious
weird.
Gaming. Take note.
That's kind of fucked up.
Yeah. Sorry for making a joke about it.
No, it's fine. It's just that's weird. What a weird thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, maybe that's a sign that we should move on. Perhaps.
Did you read the Iwata asks about Punch Out? About Wii Punch Out?
I actually didn't.
Oh, you should check it out. I don't know. I don't have a whole lot to say about it, but it was interesting to read. And this is the thing that all the internet has sort of latched onto. But Mario as a judge in NES Punch Out, the artist who did this stuff on that, it was a good panel actually. It was Miyamoto Iwata, the guy.
Yeah, all the Iwata ask stuff has been great.
Yeah,
the stuff I've
yeah.
read of it is
the other
really
the other
good.
Guy on this is the guy who supervised Wii Punch Out in Japan, as well as the guy who was the sort of designer of the original Punch-Out and the guy who did the NES port of Punch-Out and Super Nintendo port. So it was basically like everyone who's ever had
wow.
anything. And Miyamoto did all the original art.
So no one from Next Level or
no, it was
that,
it was
okay.
all done in Japan,
right,
I think.
Right,
but it was
right.
everyone
okay.
from the Japanese sort
right.
of side
sure,
of the
sure,
entire
sure.
history of Punch-Out
yeah,
all
that's
the way
amazing.
Through now.
That's awesome.
But Mario as referee, the artist was like, yeah, I thought Mario was pretty sweet, so I just made it as Mario. And at that point, no one really was around to notice.
There wasn't like a crazy set of guidelines.
Yeah, so
about
I was like, and that's why
Mario
that's why
style
that Mario
guide
looks a little
like,
off model because yeah. I just thought it would be cool to have Mario as the ref. And
that's
Mario
awesome.
Was like, whoa. And yeah, that guy or one of those guys also was like, yeah, it's been 22 years, but now I'm going to tell you. When Bald Bull's about to do his charge, there's one of the flashes right to his right. When that goes off, if you punch him, you knock him out. And everyone's like, what? You're just holding on to this for 22 years?
What?
So it's a pretty good...
that's incredible.
It's a pretty... It's one of my favorite, like, Iwata asks.
That's really cool.
Just like, yeah. Like 25 years of Nintendo history all about this one franchise. It was pretty neat.
That's great. Yeah, yeah. The Iwata ask stuff is awesome. Yeah. What a cool feature.
Yeah.
This is a series of interviews done by Nintendo's president that you can read at Nintendo.com if anyone's wondering about that. But yeah. That one is totally good.
Also, to increase the like weird Iwata like mysterious factor that we often allude to,
the Iwata sass factor,
right? Yeah. Like, I was reading a transcript of today of their latest shareholder meetings. You know, and they get questions, real ones, unlike the EA shareholder meetings.
No, asking about Michael Jordan.
No,
we can come back to that in a second.
Yeah. And people are asking these questions. They're like, so what do you think about this like forecasted date for this thing? And like, are you guys going to, what do you think about your financial this or that? And Iwata's like, well, if I could just direct you to these slides, and then he queues up a bunch of slides that he just has ready to go. Like, I don't know. That kind of blew my mind. Like, apparently Iwata is just a wizard.
The wizard.
Like, he just has like things ready at his command to just call up on the fly. So that was kind of amazing.
That's cool.
Yeah.
But
I was hoping you'd ask that.
Yeah, right. No, I mean, he was like many questions in a row. I mean, he was weird. Well, whatever.
They're prepared.
Yeah, he also expects the console generation to last longer than 2011, but that's not surprising to anyone at this point.
No, yeah.
Nintendo hopes it lasts forever.
Yeah, pretty much.
Kidding.
Yeah. Although it was interesting. There were Nielsen released some stats today about... usage patterns of the consoles, and in total minutes, even with its greatly increased overall install base, the PS2 and the Xbox 360 are still, by a fairly significant margin, the most used consoles.
PS2?
Yeah. and they 360 is actually on the increase, and Wii is on the downcrease over the last 6 months, which is interesting. And it was actually really fascinating, because when you looked at their lineup... And then PS3 was somewhere below that, below the Wii. And then it was interesting because when you looked at their stats for active users, which are people who actually use consoles on a regular basis.
Right. Versus just lifetime hours.
Versus used. Just right. Everyone in the last 6 months. Right. This is both for the last 6 months.
Right.
I think the 360 was more clearly in the lead among active users, which wasn't really surprising. And then PS3 was under that. But what was interesting is that Wii was at the absolute very, very bottom, even below GameCube and Xbox One.
That seems slightly false to me, but maybe it's not.
It was pretty weird.
How could it be below GameCube is my question. I mean,
I think there's probably a pretty strong, like, Smash contingent that just, like, I would suspect
that's such a weird thing to intersect the Nielsen sample group. Like, yeah, they got three guys who were like, we just play Smash Bros. All day. Just play Melee all the time.
Yeah, it was pretty consistent over 6 months, though.
That's interesting.
Yeah. And it's been decreasing. I mean, it wasn't that low 6 months ago. It's been just going down among active users. But, you know.
So, I mean, does that imply that people just keep buying the Wii, play Wii Sports for a few weeks, and then they've got their $200 worth?
I think more what's going on is just most of the people who are using the Wii are just less...
Once every couple of weeks, when you look at the total numbers,
the Wii is still the third or fourth most played system. So it's
But gamers in general have sort of left it behind in favor of
which is interesting because that's the message board line. But it's interesting to see an actual firm kind of back that up.
Yeah, the My Wii is collecting dust is a. That Google result would probably actually be surprising at the number of people who have said that.
Just wait until Horsebag comes out. That's going to turn things around.
Wii Horsebag.
Sorry.
So you guys been playing anything?
yes. I've actually played a few games.
Right. Yeah.
Let's see. What did I do? Bionic Commando. I played that.
Right.
What a weird game.
I played a little bit of this, but...
yeah, did you... Which version?
The 360 version.
How was that? I think it was probably...
It's a game.
Yeah.
It's a game.
It's a swinging game. It's a Spider-Man game with guns, right?
IGN.com.
Yeah.
Yeah, I played the PC version for a few hours.
Which I found a little strange, actually. I mean, just the addition of weapons, of like long-range weapons to that sort of swinging thing, just... never really worked for me all that. I mean,
that seems like it could be cool.
I mean, the original Bionic Commando had that, so I mean,
yeah,
that was a 2D game. That's
yeah, like, but I'm just saying, like, you know, it is the what you do.
Mega Man with grappling hook is different than Spider Man with bazooka, or whatever.
Right? But I mean, these are the same. I'm just saying these are the same franchise.
Oh, it's Bionic Commando.
So I'm just saying I'm not surprised that they kept a gun in there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Obviously. But in a 3D space, it was a little. Anyway, go ahead. What were you going to say?
I didn't really mind the gun. I don't know. I played it for a few hours. Probably
on the PC.
Yeah, probably 3 or 4 hours. And it's what?
I don't know. I just thought that I'd be weirdly disparaging about that.
Oh, okay, sorry. I apologize for playing it on the PC. But no, it was a good port. Except, by the way, it's a great port technically. Except that they don't replace any of the on-screen prompts. So they all
press
have
B.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like press A. It's like, oh, I guess they mean press spacebar.
Yeah.
Like it's pretty.
Sometimes a game is developed on a PC for consoles and then they press the compile button and release it.
Right. It's but the thing that's what's funny though is that the actual optimization
Jake would
and
know
like
that because he develops games.
You know, from a technical
PC's our primary SKU usually.
But no, this game actually doesn't look like a lazy port in any respect except for that. Where it's an extremely lazy port, it's really frustrating. I mean, after you know what the controls are, obviously you're not looking at the screen for that stuff anymore. But it's still pretty obnoxious. I mean, it's just it's pretty ridiculous.
Somewhere
to see
there's
that kind
a
of
UI
shit.
Guy who either was bummed that no one told him that was going out, or right. was bummed because he wasn't allowed to localize
yes.
it.
Yeah.
Yep. Right. Yep. Yeah.
One of those two things. Bummed.
Yeah. Jake
out.
There's
my equivalent on Bionic Commando is right. not pleased about
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Yeah. For the people who don't know who we are. One of the things you do at Telltale is interface design.
I design UI art.
Unfortunately, that guy at Grin is probably no longer with Grin.
Oh, yeah. God, I forgot. Yeah, we actually broke this news today yesterday or whenever you guys listened. Yeah, I did.
Yes.
A scoop?
A hot scoop. Hot scoop's going on right now. Yeah, Grin, we're pretty sure, is gone or on its way out at this point. They've already closed their Barcelona and Gothenburg, or however you say I'm sure I'm saying it wrong.
Nice
studio.
Nick. That was Nick who said that. By
the way. Just, you want to make sure you're not being confused.
Yeah. I did not say Gothenburg or whatever.
Anyway, they closed at least two of their studios, and they might be closing the Stockholm studio as well. It looks like, from what we can tell, they might be going through bankruptcy proceedings right now.
That sucks.
They basically released three games in a row that were all completely panned
but
and didn't sell anything.
But they had done some sweet stuff before that.
Yeah,
right?
They did the Bionic Commando Rearmed game,
right.
which a lot of people really liked, and sold extremely well for a downloadable game. Sold way more, in fact, than the main 3D Bionic Commando. And they also did the PC versions of Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter, which is actually the kind of stuff that put them on the map.
Those were the games. People were really into those.
Right.
Like Raw.
Right.
Except that I've seen a lot of people complain about the PC version of Raw.
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's interesting, because those were the games that kind of actually made those guys visible.
Right.
Because before that, they were making original games, but they never really got very... They've been around for 10 years already, and they
So they did the PC Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter games, and then their studio just massively blew up at that point, or had they been...
Yeah, exactly. They just started opening new studios and getting lots of contracts, and they had three high-profile games this year, plus Rearmed last year. They just had a ton of stuff going on, and then they just completely shat the bed in 2009.
Man, that sucks.
It's too bad, yeah. I think they probably expanded too fast was a big part of it.
Yeah, it sounds
like
it,
they just had
maybe.
Too much stuff going on, yeah. But yeah, we're pretty sure that most people have either been let go or suspended. Like, I think a lot of people are being told, just don't come into work for the near future.
We'll see if a contract shows up.
Exactly. So who knows? It might be like a Stormfront situation where that studio essentially closed, but still exists in some weird legal form.
The name and management.
Right.
On.
Mm-hmm. Or even like 3D Realms. 3D Realms, I guess, is kind of like that as well right now.
Atomic Games, perhaps.
Right. Yeah. Atomic Games. Yeah, that's something else that happened. Yeah. They might be gone.
Who's Atomic Games?
6 Days in Fallujah.
Okay.
That whole thing exploded as well. Yep. They can't seem to find a publisher, which is not a huge surprise.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway.
Way to go, Nick. Sorry.
So that sucks about those guys. But Bionic Commando, anyway, I've been playing it. And it is frustrating because I've said it before, but I really love games where you get to swing around and just have really dynamic movement. And I actually kind of like the basic swinging model
I have
in this game. It's a very exaggerated, weird, like sharp curve where you start swinging and then you've got this really sharp like push at the acceleration at the end. Yeah, where you really fling off. And it just kind of, it's an arbitrary decision, but it kind of makes the game unique. And there's a pizza here.
Maybe we need a different... 4 minutes and we could have gotten a break.
I know.
Oh, we're in the middle of actually talking about playing a game.
Video game.
So I really like the Bionic Commando swing mechanic. It's really, I mean, it's sort of,
I do too.
It's kind of arbitrary in how it plays out, but it's fine. I mean, I just like that it feels unique and it's kind of satisfying to swing around with that little whiplash on the end, and it's cool.
Also, it's like a whiplash.
It's like a little whiplash.
Like you're whipping a horse.
I heard that as whipping a whore at first.
No, a horse bag.
So what didn't you like about the game?
Well, one, it's kind of one of those games where, remember when a couple months ago we were talking about those kind of games where you hit that section that makes you kind of frustrated or you die and then you just want to quit? This game is one of those. Mm. It's not like it's intensely frustrating. It's not like it's an incredibly difficult game or anything like that.
It just wasn't that great to begin with. It's one of those ones where,
it's like you end up dying for just some stupid reason. Like all the games, the outer bounding they use on their levels is this kind of blue radioactive stuff. Yeah. And once you go, like they, I guess did this to avoid having any like invisible walls per se, or any just like arbitrary big fences that you can't go past, you know, cause in a game with big open outdoor environments, you need to have something to keep the player from going too far.
So they took a logical route and made it blue radiation.
Right. But it's like, it's so irritating because as soon as you end up, you know, it's supposed
so
to be
irradiating.
Like, it's supposed to be like oxygen in an underwater section where once you stay in it for a certain amount of time, then you die. So you have a couple seconds to get out, but it ends up being, because you're swinging around, by the time you go anywhere, you have tons of momentum, right? So if you swing into one of those areas, there's a good chance you've flung yourself into it, and there isn't any instant way you're gonna get yourself back out, and there's no explicit meter that tells you when you're actually going to die. It's a sort of however long it takes. It's a
then
timer.
You get the Sonic the Hedgehog underwater music,
right? Exactly, right. Mm. You need little bubbles, and it's just one of those things where you play it and you're just like, this is not an enjoyable thing to do. It's just it's very frustrating. There's a lot of level loads for some reason when they don't seem like there need to be that many, and it's a real shame because I there are some things in games I'll put up with a lot of stuff for, and swinging around is one of them, and I'll probably still play a little more of it just for that because I really do just like swinging around. And there's some good stuff. There's some good boss battles and stuff that make use of the swinging in a good way. But the whole game is just kind of unattractive to play in a lot of other respects. It's just, there's that stuff, and there's just the relentlessly, obnoxiously douchebaggy protagonist and the guy on the other end of his phone.
Oh, the commando?
Yeah, the commando, and then his commander, you know, who talks to you in your ear like every
commando
game now.
Commander.
Right. And it's just, they're like a battle of snarky assholes, you know? It's just like, well, I got your mission. You're going to have to go over here and do this thing. And then your guy responds, and he's like the same fucking guy. And he's like, oh, yeah? Is that what you think? I guess I'll have to go do that now. And the whole thing is just, you know, it's those goddamn guys from every video game. And they're back, and there's two of them now. And there's even another one.
That's the boss. And they're back, and there's two of them now.
Well, and then there's a third one. There's like the
Joe Pesci on the poster,
reason, I think,
if you will.
Yeah, right, exactly. The asshole Joe Pesci, the white Joe Pesci.
The Lethal Weapon 3 sneaking in.
Right. There's the like Secretary of Defense who, for some reason,
Joe Pesci,
like pops in every
hey guys,
once in a while.
You swinging around?
No, he comes in and he's just another one of these guys, and he's like,
he's got a great tip,
but he's got like a deeper voice. He's like, I hope you guys are doing the things the way I want you to
what
do them.
I hope you're doing the things that I command.
You gotta have the spice. But it's just like, this is terrible. This is so stupid. And the whole story is just insufferable.
You are a commando
anyway. Yeah, right.
Bionic commando.
A bionic commando. It's one of those things where your guy is supposed to be the sympathetic asshole, but they're all assholes. You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's an unfortunate game in some respects because it could be a really fun game in other respects.
Yeah.
Also, they're just weird things about this. There's a lot of weird little inconsistent things that just make for a very uneven experience that just seem odd. I don't know. I should have taken notes on some of them, but it's the whole thing is just kind of
weird.
It's one of those weird.
It is just kind of one of those games.
Yeah,
and
I know what you're talking about.
You know, I don't know.
Cool. So what else have you guys been playing?
Well, we both played the Batman demo.
Yeah.
I meant to play that, but I'm stupid.
Idiot.
Oh, I'll check it out though on my Xbox.
Oh man.
Because my PC is too shitty to run it now. Yeah, okay. That's my impressions of the Batman Arkham Asylum demo.
That was Jake.
Yeah, Jake Rodkin.
Yeah, I love video games.
And Xbox.
I love it.
On Xbox.
Crap box. So, Nick, what did you think about it?
What was the other one besides crap?
Suckbox was the main
Suckbox.
One.
Suckbox.
I think crap box was in there
also
for flavor.
Crap box. Yeah, a little crap right. box. Tune into last week's to hear about the suck box.
Crap box.
Crap box. So what were your impressions of Batman Arkham Asylum, the demo?
Nick Brecken.
I heard that particle bats fly out of guys when you kill them and they give you bat power.
Yeah, that was weird.
Sorry,
did
what's
they?
Your... Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I was wondering what that was for the longest time. Like, where do the bats
it's
keep
like
coming from?
It's like a coin. It's like a Batman coin.
Oh, yeah, they
coin.
Do. Yeah. Right, yeah, yeah.
Because there isn't really anything else in the game that's like impressionistic like that. It
right.
was weird.
Yeah.
Weird choice.
I didn't notice it all that much, but... I don't know. My first playthrough,
you played through it multiple times.
I played through it twice. Yeah,
you're way more informed than I am. You're twice as informed.
200%.
You played once through as Batman and once through as Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, I had a lot more fun the second time. More parties. I didn't enjoy it all that much the first time. It felt a little bit too easy, a little bit too one button-y.
Pretty easy. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Although I guess this demo is sort of on easy mode.
And it seems like there's also a lot of stuff you unlock over the course of the
right,
game.
Right. There's a lot that's not in this demo, which I guess was made more clear
to me.
There
were even things you couldn't access within
right,
the demo itself.
Yes. In the demo, there's like a door that you have to blow up. But beyond that, though, the second time I played it, it was really the last room of the demo where there are eight enemies and you can sort of take them out any way you want to as Batman and
Batman
and
there's a button that says I'm Batman. You can just click it and it's like in Diablo 2.
Is there
right
time to die? I'm Batman. This is for you. I'm Batman.
Batman.
Die. Time to die.
All right, I'm Bruce Wayne.
I'm Bruce Wayne.
Yeah. What?
Yeah, right. No. I didn't mean to press that one. No, that was a joke. I'm joking. I'm Batman.
So anyway, there were eight guys, and you can kill them however you want. Do you actually kill guys as Batman in this game?
No, I guess you don't kill
them. You incapacitate
them.
It's basically
you ragdoll them.
Yeah, but Batman doesn't kill a guy.
I know, but the game would have been programmed exactly the same way, like one way or the other.
Yeah.
But I guess you don't kill them.
Yeah.
Don't
Jake was very.
This is how. This is what Batman is to me, Chris. Gordon Freeman is an American hero.
All right.
Anyway, sorry.
So Nick, you liked getting to incapacitate a bunch of guys. As
yeah,
Batman.
I could kind of see where the game was maybe progressing towards, which is maybe giving a little bit more freedom about how you take. I mean, because up to that point, it was sort of you're in a corridor and you
corridor.
You should you should go up here and do this and take out the guy from behind. But when you actually have a room full of guys that you can sort of pick off and do Batman things to, distract one guy and then jump down and sort of hang him from the ceiling. And I mean that was interesting
like
to me. Yeah, it was.
What would be crazy if you could actually fuck up the thing where you had to sneak up on the guy? Can you do that? I mean,
in what way?
Well, I mean, can you have him spot you and then execute the hostage and then
execute?
Would you? No, I mean, right? Because I mean, he has a hostage. You're supposed to sneak up on this boss, or not boss, but this NPC, this criminal.
Sneak up on this boss.
He's
bad holding,
guy, right? Yeah,
he's
no,
holding a guy hostage.
About.
Well, you were talking about the part where you have to go upstairs.
Yeah,
doesn't see
you,
and then you sneak up on him, right? I mean, is it possible to just to have that guy spot you and then he kills the guy and
that's
then that
question,
guy is just
because
dead?
I never actually because
that would be fascinating. I didn't
I
think to actually
down.
Try, but
yeah.
I mean, I suspect this game.
I don't think
would
so,
not
probably,
let you do that. But it'd be cool if you.
It would
if,
be
maybe
cool.
It does. We can't say because we didn't try.
Addendum: you lose the game if the enemy spots you during this sequence.
Yeah. I mean, the interesting thing about this game is that it is sort of it's not linear because clearly there are areas of the levels that you can kind of go back and explore.
Well, it seems
but
overall
it is,
like a fairly linear
is,
game, but with arenas that
right.
are more open. Yeah.
Well, I mean, but also, I mean, there is apparently backtracking because there are rooms and things that are blocked off.
Right, right.
But it's more linear than, most games like Bioshock or something like that. I don't think you're going to be like consistently backtracking.
No, I don't think so.
But
in a licensed game, it's hard to do.
Yeah. I kind of, on the one hand, I sort of admire that approach with a Batman game because I feel like most superhero games now, the default concept is let's just put it in an open world and just, you know,
like Spider-Man.
Spider-Man Infamous prototype, you know, right. Whatever you're talking about. I mean, it just seems to be that. So, on that
Crackdown almost.
Yeah, in that sense, I kind of like the fact that they're going for like an Arkham Asylum. That's the setting.
It is interesting having it be indoor. Batman is so associated with with the, you know, the urban environment, the outside city.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. On the other hand, I while playing it, I couldn't help but think about an open world Batman game, and
I know
I could not help. I was like, man, what if it was like Crackdown, and instead of the government thing, it was like the Batcave, and you could try. And I just like I just went off in my mind for like 5 minutes.
You know who else couldn't stop thinking about that? The art director who decided to fill the entire interior with gargoyles.
That's who else wanted the
outdoor Batman game with that fucking guy. Because that was hilarious. Like, yeah, good thing hilarious. Every room has like 8 gargoyle heads in it that
they
you can perch on.
They probably just thought that's sort of what iconic Batman image looks like. You want to see Batman next to a gargoyle.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. But I mean, that's what I mean. Like, someone just really wanted that to be in there. And so
I mean, is this... You've only guys talked about the demo, but does it seem like the sort of thing that... If these guys, if it's successful, which it seems like it's going to be, everyone seems to be really into this game, that, I mean, could pop out to a bigger experience than
what was
the
studio? Wasn't there a studio? There was a news bit that was dropped. A scoop that was
someone
released,
dropped a news, someone pinched out a news
like a week ago about a developer that was being tasked with a Batman game. What the hell?
Oh,
was
I don't
it?
Know. I must admit.
Ah, God, it was some random. It was not Rocksteady. It was some other developer. It was I think it was Warner's intern. What does Warner have?
Well, they're Midway now.
Right, but... fuck. Anyway, apparently there's another studio other
Monolith?
Than... Monolith? No. Other than Rocksteady.
They have their own internal studio also in the same city as Monolith. It might be that. It's just Warner Brothers or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Company.
But anyway, I'm sure... I don't know what Rocksteady is doing, but I could... Yeah, I could definitely see them doing something.
This time you can go outside more.
Yeah. Yeah.
it's funny that you mentioned that. That was the part that kind of sold you on the demo, because I almost had the opposite reaction in that room. Mm. I really actually wanted to not kill the guys. I got to that room and I'm like,
can't you though?
No. There was the door on the other side.
Like, you have to take them all out, Batman. Right. Yeah.
Well, because, you know, you get in there, there's the game does the big thing where you see the whole arena. Mm-hmm. There's your goal on the other side. And I'm like, oh, sweet. I'm going to sneak over there. Yeah, no, yeah. Totally. I was all excited about being quiet. Because this game is stealth, but it's kind of stealth light. Like, it's extraordinarily easy to be stealthy, which I think is the right choice for this game.
Yeah. You know, although it is sort of... I mean, it is a little those gargoyles. It is like, now I'm over here on this gargoyle, and then I'll go over to this gargoyle. They won't see me though, because I'm fucking Batman.
There might be a more difficult mode. I don't know. But,
that's what I would assume.
But in general, I think it was good not to make it a super hardcore stealth thing.
Yeah.
But you know, I did feel like it was in the spirit of the game and the mood and the character for me to just like sneak past all these guys.
Right.
What I really expected I had to do was sneak into the room in the middle that has the control icon, because when you go into the detective mode visor thing, which this is a mode that highlights interesting interactable objects in the world, and there's a box that's like, this is the control box for the door. And it's highlighted and it's bright and there's a tooltip on it. And I'm like, oh, sweet. I'm going to like sneak in there and go under the grates. You can go in like underneath the floor and pop out. And these guys aren't going to see me, and I'm going to go up and interact. And there's no way to interact with that object at all. And I totally thought I should be able to just sneak in the middle of these guys, open the door from there. And it really bothered me that I basically had to go
get to the object, but then you can't actually do anything to it once you're there.
Oh. Yeah. You just have to beat up eight guys and the door opens. And it seemed like... such a shitty video game lane.
That's too bad that they put everything in to let you do it and then don't actually let you do it.
It seems like the detective mode was more of a Metroid thing than an actual thing where you can actually control things or actually be detective with it.
The solutions are scripted, obviously. Yeah. But I mean, what was interesting I thought about the detective mode is that there was no incentive not to be in it. I was in detective mode 95% of the time, because as soon as the game tells you can do that, you know, you press X, you go into detective mode or whatever, you know, whatever it is on the console, and you go into it, and it's like, okay, well, everything's highlighted. It's telling me, like, it's giving you this vision mode where you can see what things are, and like going out of detective mode, you're basically going into a fairly dark, like murky.
I enjoy
game.
That it's called detective mode.
You know, whatever it's called, I don't know.
Yeah, no, it is detective mode.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah. And, it's a good name for Batman. It's funny. I know. Detects things.
And
I guess the incentive to go out of it is that it looks better.
Yeah. I guess
it looks more like a Batman thing.
Yeah,
I mean, you know what I mean. I mean, I did think they did a pretty decent job of, you know, I mean, I Well, I think the joke about this game is that there actually was a guy whose job was to just, like, animate the cape. But it looks really good. It actually is kind of fun to just run around as Batman. And
the character designs are a billion times better than, like, DC Universe Online or something, which is the other DC superhero game that I keep seeing video and screenshots of and stuff. I mean, I really like the characters. It felt like detective mode was all you needed. I mean, it's true if you like how it looks outside of detective mode. But if you don't really care about that, or if you think it looks fine in detective mode, because I thought it looked kind of cool in detective mode, there really is no trade-off there.
Yeah.
It's literally just you have all the same stuff and more useful stuff. So that was, I think, kind of odd. But overall, I will say I was pleasantly surprised. I mean, I never expect anything out of licensed games, and I didn't give two shits about this game at all until I saw a bunch of people on Twitter talking about it.
Right, yeah.
So I downloaded the PC demo and played through that. But I'm actually kind of interested now, but I am a little concerned that all those things combined, like the sort of potential mentality of doors unlock when you kill all the guys, plus seeming ubiquitous utility of detective mode. I mean, there seem to be a number of things that I worry over the course.
It could be just in the demo, or for 12 hours.
Right, exactly. Right. That's
or even worse, you know. Yeah.
And maybe once you start getting more and more abilities, you know, things start opening up, and maybe it...
Well, that was the other thing. That was actually my major complaint, or at least my major worry, was that, you know, in that room full of eight guys, I mean, I did enjoy taking them down because... I mean, it's just fun to screw around with the AI as Batman. I mean, it's a very, but there weren't, I mean, you can rope a guy up, and then after that, you can do the bat glide down and take out a guy. But other than that, there weren't really any other ways to screw with them. And so I thought, well, if there aren't any upgrades beyond this, then this could also get old if only because there aren't any other things to do with them.
Right.
So,
I mean, well, my personal, like, I'm not a big superhero guy. Batman's really the only superhero I really have any familiarity with in any meaningful way, and like and even that not so much, but from what I do know about Batman, from what I've seen, I'm always the least interested in the parts where he fights a guy. To me, that's like whatever.
See, that's
it's
why
like
I was sort of
any,
hoping
any
for the,
superhero can fight a guy, like that's not interesting to me whatsoever. I want to see all the stuff he does that isn't fighting a guy.
The Crackdown Batman I think would be interesting if it was more like Mafia 2.
Batman.
If it was like Mafia 2 where it was sort of an open world thing, but
highly structured.
And just going to like crime scenes or, you know, more of the detective stuff, you know, if there was an actual you know, storyline.
I like that when people are talking about Batman, so many people always say, you know, more of the detective stuff, but no one ever knows what that means and no
one
ever
because
does it.
In this game, there is cool stuff, though. I mean, like, it's all pretty, it's again, pretty scripted, but I mean, there is a fair amount of stuff of you turning on detective mode, the equivalent of putting on your David Caruso glasses in Heavy Rain, and then, you know, you've got this overlay of what's on the screen, and you see, like, different objects that you can interact with.
Right,
and,
like you said, the Metroid Prime scanning.
Right,
visor.
That kind of thing. Yeah. And even if
the,
I mean,
well, what was the game? God damn it! What's the hobo killing game?
Condemned.
Yeah. If it was something like that, where you were sort of, you know,
alternatively, one version ago of Splinter Cell 5. Remember when the Splinter Cell they unveiled was like crazy? It was the opposite type of hobo where you are a hobo who kills people, whereas Condemned is you kill hobos.
That was never what Splinter Cell became. They just sort of announced that.
I think you're less of a hobo now.
Where it's like
more
Sam
clean cut.
Like a hobo sneaking around a town. I loved that.
I thought that was awesome.
Yeah,
that made me
cool.
So excited about that game. Yeah.
Yeah, it was like Max Payne 3 as if they hadn't done
Max
two.
Max Payne, another hobo killer.
But like Max Payne, they did two. It's like they relocated it and they made him a hobo.
Right.
They relocated him, but he was noir guy out in the middle of Brazil or whatever,
right.
Or if he was a hobo investigator in New York, either of those would be fine.
Right.
But when you make him a hobo and put him in South America or whatever the hell they set the game,
Hobo's Revenge.
Yeah.
Condemned.
The Atari 2600.
You were gonna say something about Condemned, because that did have some of that forensic stuff too.
Yeah, which I thought was done, you know,
fairly
well. But
you know, other game had cool detective stuff. Discworld Noir, an adventure game from like.
I never played that, but I wanted to forever.
It's really good. It's
that's the game where your interface is basically your detective's notebook, isn't it?
Right, and you take down clues and like other
and
weird things like
conversation
smells
interface.
And stuff. Right, exactly. You show clues to people and get reactions from them. And
Blade Runner's like that too.
Blade Runner's kind of like that too. Yeah, exactly. And I highly recommend Discworld Noir. I don't recommend the earlier Discworld games, so I think they're not that good. But Discworld Noir, really clever, interesting game designed by Chris Bateman, who's kind of a cool guy. And
you contracted for International Hobo for a while or worked there, I think.
You're right, man.
With Ernest Adams.
Connects.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that game, like, there are actually not that many games that have cool detective mechanics in it because it's kind of hard to do.
Mm-hmm. You would think there'd be more adventure games that actually have cool detecting.
Yeah.
Surprisingly
not very,
few.
Not very many. Yeah, yeah. Very few. But we just named a few, so there are some. But yeah, the Batman game, you know, it's definitely cooler than I expected, for sure. I just... Yes, I wish that here, I don't even mind that it has the option to fight all those guys. I just wish I didn't have to do it if I want. Like, in fact, it's almost better if you can fight them or can't. Like, it's not so much that I don't want them to be there. It's that
the option.
It's more interesting to me to get to choose whether I do that or not. and I wish I could choose not to have to kill them all. But
it's possible that that's just simply, hey, here's how you learn how to take out guys in an open. I mean,
that could open up.
It's where they give you a crawl space that you can crawl under to sneak past them to get to the button that opens the door. But you can't press it.
Well, it's not a button. It's just, it's a box that says, it's like locking mechanism for door. And then it says manufactured by Wayne Industries. So you're like, surely Batman would know how to hack into his own product and like unlock this door. I think the description's like cannot be hacked or something, but it's like surely they mean except by Batman. Like, come on now.
That's the worst. You made this.
Right.
You made it so well.
Yeah.
You can't figure it out.
Right. Exactly. Can't you just be like the asshole web admin who like keeps every password, like every master admin password from every company he's ever worked for?
He's got that.
Batman surely has that somewhere. You should be able to take out a little notepad out of your jacket.
Wayne Industries door locked.
Batman rules 23.
Sweet, they didn't change it. Default password, Linksys.
Yeah, right. 192.168.
That's a good Batman voice.
Yeah, that's probably
Hello,
what he sounds
I'm
like.
I'm Batman.
Good thing they didn't power this with Sockbox.
What's that, Batman?
Oh, nothing.
Oh, nothing at all. Like, inspecting this mechanism. Yeah. Crab bugs. yeah. So I'll probably play the game.
Yeah.
Also, Mark Hamill's in it. That guy's always enjoyable as the Joker.
Yeah.
This is apparently the last time he'll ever play the Joker, he claims.
Oh.
And it's actually a different voice than the one he used in the animated series.
It is.
Which is interesting.
Is he intentionally doing that? Or is
I saw an interview with him. I just watched an interview with him the other day, and he said, he deliberately, because this game is so much
the
more.
The style is different.
Yeah, it's such a more aggressive style than the cartoon. And so
that guy is a cool voice actor.
He's a great voice actor. Yeah, like, way better.
Play
than,
full throttle.
Oh my God. If you want to see an example of Mark Hamill's range, Rip Burger in Full Throttle is one of the most amazing video game performances, I think, ever.
Yep.
Also,
Emmett and Todd, the two redneck like truck drivers and truck owners, also Mark Hamill.
Yeah, super weird.
Yeah. So what else have you guys been playing?
I've been playing Shadow Complex.
Oh, yeah. How's that?
It's actually pretty good.
This is from Chair, right?
Chair, yes. Yeah. The Undertow guys.
Right.
The who?
The Orson Scott Card buddies.
Yeah.
Did he write the story for this game?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, he did.
It's like a sci-fi thing, right?
Right. Yeah. But I...
And it's supposed to be all Metroid, right? Like a Metroidvania, if you will?
It is a Metroidvania.
A Castletroid?
Yeah.
A Castletroid? A Castroid, if you will? Pretty sure that's the...
The Castroid is an attachment for the horse bag.
The Castroid.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, you get... Yeah.
Yeah.
You have an inflamed Castroid.
All right, Nick, so you inflamed your Castroid.
Took the mirror to the Castroid. Anyway.
Yeah, the Castroid Theater.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay.
How stupid can we get? keep listening for more.
Okay, anyway.
Castroid.
Yep. Shadow Complex. Yeah, it's pretty good. I can't tell you anything about the story because I just skipped every cutscene immediately.
Wow. Brutal. Cold blood.
Yeah, it's actually...
burn.
I think
Ice
it may
burn.
Be the game that just sort of... That may be the last straw. I just don't like cutscenes anymore
I can't
all.
Stand cutscenes at this point. Yeah,
any of them. I
skip
can't
every
be bothered.
Skippable Bionic Commando cutscene.
If I can't jump around while somebody's talking, I don't fucking want to listen to it.
Yeah.
Like, that's it.
No, I'm with you on that. I can't take it.
Yeah.
I'm so over cutscenes.
Like, who was talking about cutscenes?
Brianna Pratchett? Brianna Pratchett, who wrote
Yeah, she's like,
Edge.
don't throw out cutscenes because they're still viable.
Right.
No, throw them out.
I mean, to be fair, she was also saying storytelling is better done
when
it's in game. But
yeah, but
Jake feels bad now.
I make games that are like a cutscene.
Well, that's different, though.
It is different, though. Because if you're playing a Telltale game, you're pretty much explicitly there in large part because you want to see the story. I mean, that's totally different from, I want to play a cool nonlinear side-scroller, and then they throw a bunch of cutscenes in my face, and they're probably stupid.
Did you play the latest, did you play Tales of Monkey Island? I got your mission for you, motherfucker. Oh, fine. It's pretty good. You guys should check it out.
I did. I played through the whole game.
Oh, I was talking about the new part with that dialogue, though, of Bionic Commando and Bionic Commander. That's the chapter 2 coming soon. Good.
For the most part, Nick, I'm with you on that. I can't.
A sweet scene.
Yeah, it's just boring. They're
terrible.
Boring as shit most of the time.
To Chara's credit, you can skip all of them, but
that's good. That's nice.
Yeah,
because I was playing a game. I was actually playing I'm replaying Mass Effect, and I forgot to save at one point, and I quit. And when I came back into it, I had to play through a big section again, and you couldn't skip any of the goddamn cutscenes. Yeah. It made me want to just quit. Right, it might be just want to fucking control delete right fucking there.
Yep.
Oh my God. Anyway, Shadow Complex.
Yeah, but so I don't want to start on a bad note because I actually really like the game.
Okay, cool.
You know, I mean, it is a Metroid game. I mean, it really is. It's Super Metroid.
Wow. That's
the map
plays.
Looks.
It's Super Metroid. Like
literally,
like it's the greatness of Super Metroid achieved by this game.
Oh, I don't want to go that far, but I mean, it looks.
Structurally, stylistically, yeah,
mechanically. I mean,
okay.
Yeah, saying the it's map like Super Metroid is a bold.
Yeah, well, that's,
people
that's
will
a
take
high
that the
watermark.
Wrong way.
Yeah, yeah, right. Perhaps.
Yeah, IGN.com claims.
But so it is a good game in the style of those kinds of games.
Absolutely. The map looks almost identical to Super Metroid map. Like, I mean, it's in the exact same style. It shares a lot of mechanics. I mean, the basic running around and shooting it's fairly close. But then also,
like you roll into a ball, drop bombs.
Well, kind of. I mean, you do.
Kind
I mean,
of? Do you do that or not?
You don't roll
into
a ball, but
you
crouch. And then also,
you can't roll into a ball, but you can crouch.
Well, no.
I've been playing a lot of games recently.
You can't launch
like
into
Metroid.
The air, but you can jump.
Well, no, you launch into there's a jetpack, and you can double jump. But also there are doors that can only be unlocked by using missiles. I mean, and they're color coded. They're color coded. I mean, it is very direct.
Yeah.
But that's fine.
Worst things to rip off.
Oh yeah, for sure. So yeah, I mean, it actually
they do a good job with
it.
Yeah, because I played the demo of Undertow, which was their previous game.
Yeah,
and it felt like nonsense to me.
Yeah,
like it literally. And I don't mean that like this game
is nonsense.
No. I mean that
rubbish
in the most direct sense of the word, where I was playing it and I'm just like, it just felt like nonsense. I'm like, what is this? I'm swimming around, there's bubbles everywhere, I've got a guy. We, by the way, I specifically probably sound like a huge cutscenes suck. I hate watching anything. Those are boring. This game was nonsense. You were in the water and you're swimming around. This is stupid. But no, I don't know.
I'm like, that's how you think about games then.
It is how I, the only way.
So
I think
that's the official Game of Thrones stance.
Right, exactly. I don't think about games in any other way than that. But no, Undertow, it seemed kind of silly to me.
But this game's like Super Metroid 2.
It's like I said, it's very similar to Metroid, but then also they're doing sort of a 2.5D thing where there are enemies sort of in the background.
Yeah.
Which is cool. I mean, all the basic mechanics are just really satisfying. I mean, shooting guys, they've nailed every basic step, and then also. What's interesting about it is that it's, it's very, there's not as much backtracking as Metroid, but there are alternate paths.
It's not necessarily a bad direction.
No, it's not. I mean, it is fairly, you always know exactly where you're supposed to go.
Right.
But to get to that point, there are always grates and things you can blow up in right. alternate paths and things you can find. And actually, you can avoid enemies all the time. I mean, there are, non-violent routes to take you can also
sounds like my kind of game.
Yeah, well, you can sneak up on guys and silently take them down and stuff,
which
is
Bruce
satisfying.
Can you play as Mario Kart?
No, you can't play as Mario Kart, Jake. I'm sorry. That was a cut feature. They tried it.
Yeah.
You
can just play as Waluigi.
Yeah.
He didn't make the cut for Smash Brothers Brawl, but he made Shadow Complex.
Where, by the way, is the single-player Waluigi game? That's what I want.
Waluigi Land?
Yeah. I want that game.
Waluigi Wallaland.
I love how stupid a character Waluigi is.
Waluigi is so good.
I love it. Great. I mean that genuinely. I genuinely love it.
God, that guy.
What a hilarious.
I was so sad that he wasn't playable in Smash Bros. Brawl. I know. Like, oh, Wario's in it? It's like, you got Mario and Wario, Luigi, and he's a fucking assist trophy?
Yeah, that sucked. I was really disappointed.
Oh, that would have been the best.
Yeah.
That's why nobody's playing.
They're gonna make a fourth Smash Brothers, or yeah, just Waluigi's Card Quest.
I used to have like visions of a crazy Waluigi game that I never really decided what it actually was. I just imagined this fucked up weird game where Waluigi just like
I'm Waluigi.
Dangles all these strings and like
what? Like he's a puppet master.
Yeah, yeah. Where you're like
pull
in
the string.
Right. Where he's like you're like in his realm and he like manipulates the
Mario
world.
Jump
you're in his realm.
Yeah, like a crazy castle or something like the castle.
The Waluigi's
Waluigi?
Yeah. Like, instead of Bowser's Castle, it's Waluigi. Man, I always thought that'd be sweet. Yeah. I don't know if I can say always. That guy hasn't been around long enough to be always.
You're in my world now, Mario. Is that your voice, Waluigi? You're goddamn right, it's my voice.
I'm Waluigi. Yeah. So that's nothing like Shadow Complex.
Is it?
Xbox Live Arcade, right?
Yeah.
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 Does it have a nice kind of curve with the? I mean, I assume you upgrade your weapons and abilities and all that stuff.
Yeah, you upgrade your abilities.
Did you play through
the
it?
The weapons are sort of found naturally. Just here's an assault rifle.
Did you finish the game? I forget if you answered me already.
Shadow Complex? No, not yet.
Oh, did you beat it?
No,
did you get to the end?
I got to the end of where I'm.
Did you find a boss? The final boss.
There are bosses. I didn't get to the final
boss. Are the bosses good? I mean, that's a pretty big staple
really
of Metroid
boss
games.
Boss bosses. I mean, they're just like, oh, here's a giant robot in this room.
By there aren't boss bosses, do you mean there aren't rad bosses? Like, it's got bosses, but they're not very boss.
Yeah.
They're not very wizard.
Yeah.
It's got a
they're
boss
like coffee
boss.
Bosses.
It's got a wizard. Boss boss.
It's got a wizard
the
boss.
The wizard boss boss.
Yeah, I mean.
From the makers of Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
From the makers of Chitty Chitty Bang Bang comes
wizard boss boss. Yeah,
that's not a thing.
No,
I don't know. I think wizard boss boss is the next Castroid.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
that's quick. Well, so quick to be displaced.
Waluigi's,
from our favorite
Waluigi's realm it might actually be an upcoming Castroid.
Right. I see.
Waluigi's realm is a Castroid. I think is the sentence that you can say. IGN.com.
Is that the sentence? All right. This game. Okay.
Sorry. So, anyway, Shadow Complex.
Yeah.
It's a game you should probably play when it comes out.
No, it sounds good. I only vaguely knew because I didn't see Microsoft's press conference most of it, and right. So
yeah, it was not really on my radar all that much.
And I was just not very excited about Cher, those guys in particular.
Yeah.
But I mean, honestly, I love Super Metroid a lot,
mm-hmm.
much more than most games.
Yeah,
and,
me too.
I don't know. That's really cool. Because there have been 8 million Castlevania games in that style in the last few years, but I got pretty burned out on those. I mean, there's only so many times you can deal with 80% of the same sprite sheet again.
Right, and you need a little more of the Troid in your life.
I need more Troid. So, Shadow Complex, that's cool.
Cool. But you
brings the Troid.
No. Hmm? It brings the Troid. IGN.com.
Chris, you told me that you had checked out Civ Rev on the iPhone.
Oh, you're right. It came out this week.
Yeah. $5 for a Civ Rev.
Yep. Well, probably by the time you hear this, it's up to $10. It's $10, but it's $10, but they did an opening day sale of like $5.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I played Civilization Revolution on the iPhone. I've played through it a couple times now. Because it's a very short game compared to the PC Civilization, so you can do it in a few hours. And it definitely is the full. It definitely is the full Civilization Revolution. They basically did the exact same thing they did with the other
versions.
With
the Wii version, where just the
well, there is no Wii version. But
oh, what? Oh, whatever. Sorry, my bad.
Xbox 360, PS3, and DS are the three.
Oh, that's
versions.
Right. I'm sorry. I was thinking of the DS version
right.
of just sort of the sort of core spreadsheet
right.
management engine underneath
right.
all
exactly,
of it.
Exactly. Yeah,
is,
it's the same thing.
The same thing. Yeah.
And then they just add a new interface layer essentially, and which is impressive. I mean, it means it's probably that the really, compared to everything else on the iPhone, it's probably the deepest, biggest game on the iPhone. I'd be pretty surprised if there were anything else made for that system.
I don't know, they got worms on
there. Yeah, that's true. Nick brought up SimCity as a possible challenger
yeah.
to that.
Those two games are the two in that vein, pretty much historically as well.
Yeah, exactly. And it definitely is the right version of Civ to put on iPhone, obviously. It has... One of the things, I played a lot of the Xbox 360 version of this game when it came out, And I, as much as I enjoyed it, largely as kind of a throwback to Civ 1, like I played so much Civilization 1 whenever that game came out, and Civ Rev is probably the closest thing to that in terms of its basic rule set.
Yeah.
It's taken some things from the later PC games, but in terms of overall simplicity, it's kind of back to that early days. And I enjoyed it for that, but one of the things that was frustrating about it on the 360 was that you could kind of feel the fact that it was a game core with an interface layer on top. Like, there's only a certain amount you can optimize that to some extent, or at least that's how it feels. And a lot of times it would be just kind of, you know, you'd be scrolling over and the screen would just be kind of jerky, or menus would come up and things would just feel a little kind of like the old Xbox dashboard, stuff like that, you know, or just it feels like it's just not really down there at the machine kind of level, all hooked in. And that problem exists on the iPhone too, which is not a big surprise, and makes it a little more frustrating because you're on this little tiny screen.
Yeah.
You're trying to, like, scrolling around is not a pleasant experience.
Right. You want the
SimCity has the exact same problem.
Right. Exactly.
Although I haven't played it on the 3GS, but
I have. I'm playing it on a 3GS.
Okay.
You mean SimCity though?
I meant SimCity, but
okay. Yeah. Yeah. And but all that said. So, I mean, I think the main...
It. You've gotten through a few full rounds of Civ
right, exactly.
Which,
I think,
is actually rare for an iPhone game for me, at least.
Me too. This is the most I've played an iPhone game in a long time. And I think for me, the key is that I don't want to play it on the harder difficulty levels. I think that would make it... Because once you get up there, you really... When I play on the harder difficulty levels on the 360, you know, I was building roads for great distances and taking my guys long, you know, over between cities that were quite far away,
like,
and dealing
having
with,
to deal with all that sort of scrolling.
Yeah, it's just
all that scrolling.
But it really is unpleasant. I mean, it's nice to play on the lower difficulty levels on a small map and just you know, just not have to worry about that.
Get a little,
you know,
Civ, but
yeah,
not,
yeah. That's basically what. Goal, it's great. I mean, it's, you know, it is really impressive that all that shit there is there on an iPhone. And really the only thing they didn't get in was multiplayer. I mean, it's the entire game otherwise. There's all the 16 civilizations or whatever, and all the victory conditions and all everything else. They said they're hoping to do a lot of downloadable extension, like patching and downloadable content in the future with, you know, potentially multiplayer. They're going to add in achievements. They're going to add in Twitter linking, which is sort of hilarious, where it'll post to your Twitter if you win.
Yeah.
They said they're just going to be seeing what people want and then adding stuff in. They're kind of,
but they assume Twitter integration right off the bat, though.
Yeah, right. I know.
That's because it's easy and has Twitter in the name.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure that feature, compared to many things they could put in, is relatively
sure. Your number one request for a patch is smoother scrolling.
Yeah, that's probably the kind of thing that is less likely to cut.
Yeah, scrolling is probably going to get worse over time, actually.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, honestly, that was a problem in the 360 version as well that I played. So, I mean, I think there's a limit to how much they're going to be able to fix that. But, you know, within the scope that I limited myself to, for the most part, it was pretty playable and fun.
Yeah, the iPhone web browser has trouble
scrolling
without having to redraw and stutter.
Yeah, exactly.
But not off-road Velociraptor Safari for the iPhone. That game scrolls pretty nice.
I haven't played that on the iPhone. Is it good?
If you like a Velociraptor Safari. It's Raptor Copter is what it is.
Oh, Raptor Copter.
It's a 2D. It's a little more scrolly.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, yeah. Oh, and then as I alluded to earlier, I'm replaying Mass Effect as a female character this time.
As a lady.
I've seen so many people online recommend playing it as the female character. And then,
is it better?
I guess. I mean, it's not a different game or anything, but you know, I mean, Shepard is a fairly boring dude.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, even just as a female character, that even just that makes it slightly more interesting. I mean, there are fewer games with fully voiced female protagonists. So, I mean, that alone makes it a more unique experience. I'm still in the Citadel at the beginning. So, I mean, I can't, which is my favorite part of the game, by the way.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people are not of that opinion, but I really think all that stuff when you're on the big space station at the beginning of the game is where that game shines for sure. I'm walking around and I'm like, what did I not like about this game before? This is awesome. It looks beautiful. Like, it's gorgeous. It's cool. There's all these different conversations to have and people to meet and things to do and stuff to find. And you can level up without ever having to fire a shot. You can level up just by having conversations and exploring things. I'm like, this is super fun. And then I remembered, oh, right. It's once you start actually doing the missions, and then you start basically doing the same when you just do combat mission after combat mission, especially if you start getting to side quests. And then that's when the game turns into a chore, basically. At least for me, that's how I felt.
Yeah.
But all this stuff in the early part of the game, I love. I think it's so much fun. And I guess I'll probably play through it. I mean, I I guess I need my character for there for Mass Effect 2, then now that I've overwritten my original character.
Right.
So I guess I better beat it now. But it's been fun playing through again. It's definitely a game that has a lot of things that I think are just amazing and incredible and awesome, and then a lot of things that I just think are completely stupid.
Yeah.
And you know, cutscenes and dialogue, big part of that. Speaking of irritating cutscenes.
Yeah.
I mean, all the stuff that's just me talking with a guy and choosing the flow of the conversation, I love all that stuff. All the stuff that's the baked-in story, I find amazingly dumb.
Yeah. It seemed like as the game went on, there was more of the baked-in and less.
That's absolutely true. Yeah. That's what I love so much about all that stuff at the beginning in the space station.
Yeah, right.
Almost every conversation is one that there's at least the illusion, if nothing else, of you sort of guiding the conversation and you know, because
at that point you're less of a hero of
right
savior,
you're dealing in trivialities, you know, you're doing, you know, to some extent it is the ridiculous RPG cliche of everyone in the world for some reason thinks
need
they can
your help,
yeah exactly
Shepherd.
Everyone thinks they can give you their
please
bullshit
help me, you know, give
worthless
you this rifle.
Problems yeah. Yeah, but I don't care. I think that stuff is way more interesting than you're the hero of the galaxy and there's an ancient evil and you've got to kill it. I think that's super boring and everyone's been in every game. I don't know. I much as unrealistic as it is, well, they're both unrealistic, quite frankly, but you know, as ridiculous as it is, I prefer ridiculous NPCs giving me hilarious little missions as long as there's interesting, as long as I have a choice to how to resolve it and there's an interesting thing that can come out of
it. But don't you feel like you're destined for something more?
I guess
that's
so.
That's funny. Yeah. I mean, I was going to bring up Far Cry too. I'm not going to do that.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. Well, the buddy system, I was just thinking about sort of heroes and I don't know. Let's not get into it.
All right.
Yeah.
Yep.
But, you know, when Mass Effect is good, it's awesome.
Yes.
It's, was Nick, were you the one I was talking about just being impressed by the guns and stuff like that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It is one
impressed
of those things where I,
guns.
No, it sounds stupid, but it is, you know, there are a lot of games that are rendered at a really high level of detail that I think just look really dumb or poor.
Yeah.
And I've talked about some of those on the podcast before, but sometimes when a game actually does have nice art direction and it couples that with really high level of graphical fidelity, like I'm playing Mass Effect right now on my PC at like 1920 by 1200 and every single option cranked all the way up. And like, you know, sometimes it is sort of just amazing to see how different games look when my character is running around and she's just got her gun strapped to her back and there's just things are modeled to such an amazing level of detail. Just the little like holster on the that she puts the gun into and the little ammo thing or whatever. I don't know what any of that shit's called, you know, just little crevices there. And these things actually have like geometry and they're uniquely textured. And it's really, I mean, it's really amazing. It's only
oddly enough, I got that that sort of satisfaction out of Batman. If only his cape is sort of, it has that kind of rubbery look to it, and it was just kind of satisfying that it actually looked like an actual cape,
right? No, it
as opposed
did.
To just a flat thing that you know is in the shape of a cape,
right? It uses the same physics as a ponytail or whatever,
right? Yeah.
And you know, I'm as probably most listeners know, I think all of us we can say this about, we're all super super duper thrilled to play much lower budget indie stuff, all sorts of stuff. I mean, I don't care. I'll play old games all the time.
Yeah.
I have absolutely no compunctions at all with that.
But it
I
mean, is nice when you see all
there's
the
a
sort
separate
of everything,
part.
That, everything
yeah.
that sort of modern technology allows used for something really awesome.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And not just either because it's there or bullshit showboating that has nothing behind it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, there are games that are equally as detailed, but I think just are not interesting to look at all. But you know, some of the
it's
stuff
like
in Mass Effect. Yeah. Exactly. Right. especially in the space station, I just think some of that stuff looks so nice.
Well, you love space.
I do love space. There's actually really Nick and I were discussing. There's when you're in the space station, if you're in the outdoor, you know, outdoor part, so to speak,
like the park,
and you the park, and you look up. There's you can see
like
a cloud layer and atmosphere. And I was wondering, it was funny because my interpretation of that was there's just a like big projection or screen that they put up there.
Like there's simulated atmosphere or something.
Well, that was Nick's theory, and I like that they never mention it in any of the little automated guide robots you can talk to or anything. Like I like that I had this interpretation of it and Nick had a different one. And either way, I think it's kind of a cool little detail that's just there, and it just. You know, it just points to a game that's fairly well conceived visually, and just it's nice.
More games should have detail like that goes unexplained.
Yeah, I agree.
Yep.
So too often it's like you gotta save us. The volcano's exploding, and it's because of this. And the,
right.
the other race is fighting with us, and that's why there's this.
Well, you know, Mass Effect has some of that.
Well, it certainly does. It certainly does.
Right, but it also lets you look up at a sky in a park and wonder whether or not the sky is synthetic or not in the future.
Yeah.
Sweet.
You know, it's cool, and that's to me where Mass Effect shines. And I think there's more of that in the opening level. The other part that's actually very much like that, at least in the conversational aspect, is the ice planet, as goofy as that is to say. There's that whole quest line where you have to call this guy out on shady, without spoiling too many things. You know, you essentially have to take a guy down, but the ways you can do it are fairly varied and up to your demeanor. It's pretty cool.
Do you guys know what Mass Effect 2 is going to be like in terms of, is it going to like where the sort of pendulum of stuff that you like is going to swing on that game? That was a weird analogy.
I think it'll go further in both directions. I mean, I think they're going to go more towards the like dark, crazy,
extreme
epic story.
Prophecy mania.
Right.
Yeah.
And also, though, it looks like they're pushing it even further in the interactive direction, to the point where extremely important main characters can die. Which is always the kind of thing that I think is interesting, when there are things that just allow two different people to have different experiences with the game. Almost, I mean, anything that you can put in that category, I'm usually on board with. And Mass Effect 2 looks like they're pushing that further. I mean,
I might have to take back what I said earlier in the episode, because I mean, they are pushing cutscenes, and I guess, you know, technically it's more like an adventure game in the way that they're doing it, where, you know, I mean, you actually have responses that you're choosing. You're directing the cutscene as opposed to the cutscene.
And I like that stuff.
I like that stuff. And man, they're doing such a good job with it in the sequel. I mean,
conversationally.
The shots are just, they're fucking brilliant. The stuff that they showed at E3 was just amazing.
A secret of cutscenes.
Hmm.
If they're good, you still sometimes don't want to skip them.
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
But I mean,
but
yeah.
The problem is that 99.99% of cutscenes.
But I mean, there's
ridiculous.
But in addition to being, but I mean, well, there's also just a mechanical difference. Of,
I think
in Mass
is.
Effect, you are interacting.
And that's the adventure game difference also, too, because you make a choice in an adventure game too.
Yeah,
I want to say this, and then it plays. That is, there's at least some interaction going on there. Whereas a traditional
and it's a game where
game,
if the cutscenes that you're seeing, you're only seeing them as a consequence of your actions. Like this dude. Like if a major character dies off,
right?
Yes.
Yeah, I want to see that.
Then, you're going to want to see the repercussions of that, and
how they ripple across. Something that happens between a level load or something,
right?
You know? I mean, and that's sort of like what you get with most.
But
games.
Nick, also, I mean, as a counter, adventure games do have a lot of cutscenes that everyone will see and are purely there, and you have no impact on. What, I mean, you know, Grim Fandango has tons of, for example, your game. But the thing I was saying about that in response to Jake's point earlier is that you're very unlikely to be playing an adventure game unless you really specifically want that. And when I play an adventure game, I expect it to have good, enjoyable dialogue and good, enjoyable cutscenes. And if it doesn't, I'll probably think it's a bad adventure game because so much of the game is that.
In adventure games, at least we're talking about adventure games again, at least the memorable, well put together ones, the cutscenes also are
a payoff.
Well, they're a payoff, and they're also the things that set the world state to wherever whatever the next
ride
is.
Like,
right.
Grim Fandango does that brilliantly.
Yeah, like in adventure games, if you're seeing a cutscene, it almost always means, okay, that means that I've stepped through into the next sort of gated section of the puzzle. Like, I may be in the same environment, but all the characters are different. Like, the whole world is now open to explore. It's sort of, I mean, other games do that as well, but not always. It's like a huge cutscene plays, and then it's like, wait, I'm on the exact same hill that I was standing on before, and now I've got to go back to shooting guys, whereas at least...
Yep.
You know, it's
now action games are the worst offender of that. I that is by far my biggest hatred of any kind of cutscene, is the kind where you just do a thing that I feel like I should be playing. That is the worst. I mean, Halo 3 ends that way with a car jump, and it burns my ass.
Why was I not jumping in that car?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have no patience for that whatsoever. I'm sure in a lot of cases that stuff is a technical issue, but
we've talked about that at work sometimes, about how in like most games that aren't adventure games, when someone wants to talk or have a lot of exposition or affect an interesting state change on a world or have a sort of fine object interaction, there's a cutscene.
Right.
And then in adventure games when you want to jump or shoot a gun,
there's a cutscene.
But when those two when that division goes away, like when they get that backwards, it's really frustrating, where it's like, why are these adventure game characters just talking to each other all the time? Or like, why is this person turning a key in a lock? Give me a break.
Yep.
Or why is Master Chief jumping a warthog off a cliff? Like, fuck
and
you.
I'm not doing it.
Right. Yeah.
That, And what you say about state changes, I completely agree with. That's a great point. Like, when a game simply stops to show you something in the world with your character, with no other extraneous elements introduced, and then you're back to where you were a second ago, except now your character's done a thing, that is intolerable. I just can't stand it. The police are coming to arrest the game designers who implement those choices.
Like, that happens to me a lot in, like, just, it seems like a thing in third-person games. Like,
third-person games are way worse.
Or, consoles where you walk up and just, you happen to enter the trigger box for a character, and then it'll just play a conversation you have no agency over.
Right.
Yep. And then that character walks away and you're on the street.
Right.
And then if it's GTA, your cell phone will ring 3 seconds later, and the same person will call you up and give you a mission. It's like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's weird. People should do less of that.
Yeah. And to BioWare's credit, they usually do, in Mass Effect, a pretty good job of having cutscenes be an introduction to a fairly...
They're sort of a finale,
like,
or an
opening gate. I still usually don't like watching the ones that are completely stock and are just explaining why you're the big hero who's got to kill the bad guy. I just find that stuff so tedious. But they have a better grasp of...
I mean, even Valve throws in cutscenes, but they're not.
Yeah, but at least, as you said, and I know this is an immature thing, but at least as you said, you can jump around.
Sometimes you can't. I mean, the G-Man. I mean, there are.
Okay, that's like the one.
I know. That's the one exception, but it does exist, and I mean that is incredibly.
But I feel like that's okay because when the G-Man shows up. That's huge. It's a huge payoff. You should be incapacitated.
Right. Well, and that's the power of using cutscenes very sparingly because when it happens, it's like, oh shit.
Yeah. You know? And it also, you know, it's so interesting because Valve games are some of the only games made by anybody where if you as the player lose control, that means the character loses control. Mm. I don't know, maybe BioShock kind of did that where they made a point the same way, kind of.
BioShock
arguably.
Will still occasionally have your guy. Like, there's the cutscene where he, right at the beginning of the game, when he stands up and plasmids are first introduced. Like, I was actually really bummed when BioShock did that. Yeah. When you get thrown off the ledge and then you're on the ground unconscious for a little while. Yeah. I guess it's because
that happens in Half-Life 1.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
But I mean, again, that's used specifically because your character is actually unconscious.
Yeah.
And to me, that's fine. Like, I think it's really interesting, the idea that if you're in control, that means your character's in control. If you're not in control, that means your character is literally not in control. I think that's fascinating.
I think the moment in BioShock, your guy sort of paths for you.
I think you're probably right.
But maybe that plays into the larger themes of BioShock.
It arguably could. But I think that is really interesting about the G-Man. And I think that's a really, I agree. That's, well, with both of you guys, I guess that's a particularly fascinating choice in the context of Valve games.
Yeah. Where's episode 3?
I really want episode 3 so badly. I love the episodes.
Steve's going to have sign language.
Yeah, Steve Hot Scoops Gainer and I were talking about that at lunch today, about if it was Half-Life Episode 3, Half-Life 3.
I think they probably regret not calling it Half-Life 3 Episode 1, Half-Life 3 Episode 2.
Or at least just branding it like what modern, like the current companies have been doing with DLC, where it is Half-Life 2 Aftermath, instead of this is the first episode in a new story. We're putting them out whenever we want, but we're making you feel beholden to playing all of them.
Right.
Yeah.
But I'm absolutely glad they went the development route they did. I think they got the names wrong, but I'm so glad. Because I know a lot of gamers don't feel that way. I mean, I think people fall on, you know, two sides of the fence there. But I'm really glad they didn't wait and do episode 3. Did I tell you guys about when I was talking to Doug Lombardi at Comic-Con and he was saying, you know, after they finished Half-Life 2, They said literally the whole office, there was just this horrible mood where people, the idea of starting on a Half-Life 3 literally made everyone just sick. And they
are all pretty pleased now, though, since they've been just
churning
out
they've just
an
been
awesome
making
game
like
every,
games
every year.
Yeah, they've all been super fun. I hope
that Valve at some point puts out another huge epic game, because I really liked playing through Half-Life 2 and obviously Half-Life 1, an epic Mickey.
I loved playing through Half-Life 1. I admit I didn't get through Half-Life 2 the first time I played it.
Oh, really?
I kind of burned out on it after a while.
I slowed down during some of the way elongated vehicle segments.
Yeah.
But I played through that entire game.
Yeah, did you?
I definitely played through it eventually, but yeah.
Yeah. I love the episodes, and I love, like, the length of time that Left 4 Dead sort of facilitates, or TF2. Like, they've sort of covered the range of all
sorts of playstyles. They really have,
But I would love, after they've done all of the sort of iterative stuff they've done over the last, like, 5 years, if at some point, whatever, 2015 year of the PS3,
right,
they put out some...
PS3 exclusive?
Well, maybe not that. That's probably unlikely from Valve. Yeah. But a game that is...
Yeah, who knows?
That would take... It's more than a four-hour investment.
They'd probably be big enough at this point to staff it with enough people who didn't go through two cycles of Half-Life at this point.
Right, yeah.
What was I going to say? Yeah. Yeah, did you guys see that Valve had those videos? I haven't watched all of them yet, where they Gabe Newell did all of this...
the sign language
stuff? The sign language
stuff.
Yeah,
I haven't seen them yet, but I...
I haven't seen them either, but I saw a little bit of the beginning of the first one. Where they're essentially trying to experiment with this idea of sort of a deaf character or how you would make this readable. And I find it so fascinating the depths of research that Valve seems to consistently go to in almost any area you could conceivably imagine.
Mm-hmm.
It's fairly heroic as far as game design
goes. It amazes
goes.
Me that they're organized enough as a studio to pull all that stuff off. Because I know
without
pretty much
producers
for a fact
or
that,
much
like,
of a management staff.
Every studio wants to do that stuff, and a lot of studios can afford it. I mean, I think most people probably could afford to deal with a lot of that sort of weird stuff if they had their shit together enough. But it's one of those things that you're like, oh, we should totally do this. And then like somewhere along the line, someone doesn't think it's important, or just you can't find someone to take the responsibility, and those guys are so good at just. I mean, maybe it's because they just do have way more time than anyone else. But it does always impress me that they seem to do a million crazy, detail oriented things like that.
Part of it is probably how self organized they are to an extent. Like they're really unusual in that they have no production staff, they have no producers, and they have very little top level management. Mm. And they seem to.
So I was like, we all agree that this is important. Let's just do
it. Right. I think it's less we all agree and more just there's someone
like
on the team
yeah.
who takes
yeah.
enough initiative to just do it. And then someone, Gabe Newell or whoever says, okay, go
well,
do
yeah,
it.
That takes the mutual trust of the rest of the team.
Right, exactly.
You doing that is not going to fuck everyone else.
Right, exactly.
Which is, another issue.
Yeah, exactly. And they're also pretty ballsy in turn. I don't know ballsy, but they have enough money, I guess, to hire just weird people out of nowhere, like weird cinematic, like special effects physics guys and experimental psychologists and all this weird, all these sort of weird people they can just hire. And that comic book artist who I guess is an actual Valve employee now,
like Michael Oeming.
Michael Oeming, yes. Yeah. Just stuff that is just really crazy. Valve was a weird company.
Yeah.
Michael Oeming.
Yep. So. Yes. That's what we think about video games.
Computer games.
Computer games.
Ooh.
Computer and video
games. So, yeah. Next week, we're not going to do reader mail this week because we hate you.
But we do hate you.
No, I think we're going to do possibly an all reader mailbag extraordinaire next week.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We'll see if that works out.
Which reminds me that we should talk about the new Idle Thumbs voicemail.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry. The wizard. Idle Thumbs Wizard On service, as we've called it. It's patented. It's our exclusive new wizard service.
On Wizard.
By Edge.
By Edge. You can call it using your phone, which has an Edge network connection.
Yeah.
We also accept 3G or landlines, but Wizard On. So, the phone number?
55 Wizard On.
Yeah. So, if you're in an accident, I would not call that number.
Call 911. But if you wish to leave us a mail, 55 Wizard On.
Yep.
Should we read the numbers that actually is? Because that's not doesn't sound like a phone number.
If you can figure that out, right. Go ahead.
For what it's worth, that is actually 559-492-7366. That's a U.S. phone number.
Oh, right. United States phone number, yes.
So, yeah.
And the 55W is the area code.
So it's 55 Wizard On.
Yeah.
This may be a long-distance call. Ask your parents' permission before calling.
Yeah, we don't know what we're going to do with that yet. Maybe you can leave us a message and maybe we'll respond to it. Maybe not, though. Who knows? The wizard. He knows.
Wizard On.
Okay. Is that it? Are we done?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
You're Mr. There we go.
Video game.
5-5 Wizard On.
Wizard. The Wizard. The Wizard.
Oh.
Yeah, there will probably be some good games coming out.
Like Time Donkey. I can't wait for that game. I know nothing about it.
I don't think that's a real game.
Yes, it is.
Oh, sure
I don't
it is.
Think so.
Yeah, it's the next Blurst game.
That's got to be real.
Really?
Time Donkey?
Yeah.
Yeah, they put up a prototype video for it, and then on their blog
they did?
Said, yeah, like a couple weeks ago. And then they said, oh, yeah, Time Donkey's the next Blurst game. And then like 2 days after that, Jonathan Blows.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't realize
they turned up. Yeah, they worked it in.
And then the Time Donkey thing.
It was just very serendipitous.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they like just announced that they were doing that as their next project, and then...
Because it seems like a Braid thing, but it's not really. They had,
yeah.
Right.
But yeah, it was...
That's pretty funny. I didn't realize that that was the timeline.
Yeah.
I hadn't
yeah.
heard of it, until the Blow thing.
You record additional donkeys and then play them back, and you can jump on their backs. So,
right.
Yeah, doing
like that Cursor 10 game. Did you ever play that? The Flash game?
No.
Man, this could be a podcast.
Whatever.
Anyway.
But yeah, I want Time Donkey to exist just because I enjoy all the music in their other games, and I want to hear the Time Donkey music. Also, to control a donkey through time.
Time Donkey through song.
How can you turn that
but yeah, man, you didn't know Time Donkey is real.
No, I totally didn't. Now I know. I'm excited
Time Donkey
now.
2.
Oh, man.
Video game.
I would love if that happened.
I would love if it happened.
That would be,
IGN
that would be great.
IGN took us on Twitter.
No, yeah, I know. That would be great.
I'm just like, douche, Far Cry 2,
we're douchebags. Video game.
We finally, I checked for the first time in months on iTunes, and I think we finally moved up to like page 3 of the video game feature list.
Oh, shit!
To ever be in the top 20.
Fuck! Like,
there's some lame...
Man!
Page 3!
No,
what are you talking about?
No! God, oh, really?
Fuck! God! Oh! It makes me so mad!
Page 3!
Oh, gotta do better, guys!
Come on!
What are you actually...
No, there was some comedy that we ran across a couple days ago that I might be able to grab.
I'm only on page 3. What a joke!
I like how you get so... You're like, ah, oh, fuck, goddamn it! What? Oh, there was some comedy we ran into the other day.
Video game!
Oh, fuck! All right,
I give up.
That's so funny to me.
Yeah.
Wizard.
Far Cry 2. The video game. Trine.
Fallout 3.
Ah.